Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production. All right, everybody. All right. Hello and welcome to another edition of 321 General Hospital, coming to you live from Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. We apologize for the technical difficulties that occurred throughout the first half hour of this show. We apologize to the guest of the evening, Carrie, who's supposed to be on right now. We're going to bring her on shortly. So we apologize about that. But we are very excited
to have you on the show. Hey, I don't mean to cut you off, boss, but I thought you said it was 4:30 to 5:30.
Yeah, 5:30 Eastern and 4:30 Central Time.
Okay, so we haven't missed a half an hour. We're just missed 5 minutes.
Yeah. I think I goofed up. I scheduled the show for 5 o'clock.
Oh, you goofed up. You goofed up.
Yes,
you totally had your head up your rear end on that one.
Yeah, definitely. But let's move right along because our guest of the evening is on hold and she's listening to us. Right now we're going to be bringing on someone that's been in the business such a long time, an alumni of General Hospital. She's been very, very nice over the last few weeks of preparing to get her on this show. So I always say this: nobody has to accept your invitation. Nobody has to accept your invitation. It could be an invitation to a birthday party. It could be an invitation to a graduation. Nobody has to accept your invitation. So we are thankful that Carrie Shane decided to come on this show and spend some time with us. And again, we apologize about the technical difficulties that occurred early on. Before we bring her on to the show, we want to play her a proper intro. After the intro, we're going to bring her on to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, people that are listening, people that are still tuning into this show, at this time we want to bring on the one and only Carrie Shane. She's been involved in a lot of projects, not just General Hospital, Criminal Minds, Cold Case, SoMeet 90210, and recently The Bay, which we're going to get into with her about. But let's not talk furthermore. Let's bring her on to the show. Ms. Shane, welcome to 321 General Hospital.
Hi there. Can you guys hear me okay?
Hi, how's it going? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Crystal clear, actually.
Yes, good. How are you?
Pretty good. Once again, we apologize about the technical difficulties, but thank you for joining the show today.
No worries. Good.
Yes,
thanks
one
for
of the many
me.
Perils of using Blog Talk Radio, but we are thrilled to have you on the show today.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
Awesome. I want to get right into it with you because I know we don't have a lot of time with you. Just to start off with the viewers that are listening on our platform, how did you get started into acting? How did acting become a thing for you?
Oh, gosh. I was kind of a dancer, performer. I was in theater when I was a teenager back in St. Louis, Missouri, where I grew up. And I was performing at some kind of convention, and a talent scout was there and invited me to a summer camp for, kids who were interested in doing theater and things like that. So it ended up culminating in a performance on Broadway for a bunch of agents and managers, and I got my first manager that way. And I started I decided to stay in New York City and finish high school because I was actually still in high school at the time. And about a year later, I started General Hospital. So it happened.
Oh, wow. Oh, you started out right out of school.
I did. I was barely out of school. I just barely graduated.
What year did you sign with them?
I believe it's back in 91 that I got my first agent. And then by 92, March of 92, I started General Hospital.
Oh, all right. Now, I do have to apologize before Martez continues, is that I actually started watching General Hospital in 96. So your stint on there is just before my time. Yeah.
Right.
So I'm not very well versed on your character, so I apologize if I don't have a whole lot of in-depth questions for you.
No worries. You know what? The beauty of it is it's all available on YouTube. It's pretty amazing. The entire archive of the 2 years that I spent on General Hospital are on YouTube.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's pretty cool.
I tried looking
for
them old episodes, but they usually only have, clips.
No, there's full episodes. I want to say it's, it's Karen and Jagger. It's somebody made this YouTube channel called Karen and Jagger, and I'll have to see if I can find it, and I will tell you guys where it is. But it's I think it's by Addie Cates, I want to say. Somebody named Addie Cates, or that's what it's called. If you go to YouTube and search up pretty much if you just search up my name, I think it comes up.
It sure does.
Check it out.
Right now we're joined by Carrie Shane, alumni of General Hospital. Like I said, she's been a part of a lot of other projects that we're going to get into. You set us up pretty well. How did you get the role of Karen Webster? How did you get that role on General Hospital?
Lots of auditions. I had probably auditioned for General Hospital about 5 times before I finally landed a role. So it was a long time coming. I mean, it doesn't sound like that long because I booked it within a year, but they kept bringing me in, and Mark Teschner, the casting director on General Hospital, who's just amazing. He's such a great casting director. He just kept trying to find something for me, and then finally the role of Karen came along, and it was just the right fit.
Awesome. Sometimes you just gotta have that right personality with that right character to have things
right.
Click.
Yeah, I wish I could remember the other the other roles that I auditioned for, because it would have been fun to kind of look back and see who got those roles, but I honestly can't remember.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to say that you auditioned for Brenda, and you and Vanessa Marcel had some sort of rivalry on set because she got your role.
Oh, funny. No, actually.
That would have been a good story.
That would have been a great story. They didn't bring Brenda on until after I was already on. So I was there, and then they brought her in for my storyline.
Oh, she's brought in for your storyline specifically.
Yes, yeah, she was brought in for that whole, like, you know how General Hospital and all the soaps do the summer storyline, the summer sizzle storyline with all the teens because the teenagers are home? She was brought in to kind of be that love triangle between me and Jagger and herself.
And she ran you out of town.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
Now, what was your time like working on such an iconic soap opera? Because there are crazy, crazy General Hospital fans that worship this show. Like, sort of
there
like myself,
are.
You know? These are some crazy people. Am I correct?
That you are 100% correct. You know, it's so funny that it's been so many years since I was on the show, but it's still the number one thing that people remember me from. And, you know, it doesn't matter no matter how or where I go, it's people come up to me and say, oh, my gosh, I used to watch you on General Hospital. It's always General Hospital. So, yes, there are very dedicated fans out there.
I mean, you got two guys here doing a show about General Hospital. So, yeah, we're a couple of those crazy fanatics.
Yeah, we are, for sure.
I figured. Well, I found it really interesting that you guys are both wrestling fans as well as General Hospital fans.
That's putting it mildly, yes.
they both intertwine, sort of. You know?
They do? I'm very curious. How?
No, absolutely. Professional wrestling is regarded as the man's soap opera.
Okay.
Yes.
I can see that, I guess.
No, it's true because it's one of the things that I like about General Hospital and professional wrestling. One, because you're new episodes all year round, not just like seasonal. And it's always new content. And the storylines are continuous for as long as the writers can come up with something. And I would say that the difference between it is that the soap operas are pre-taped and wrestling is usually recorded live. So they have the one take versus the multiple takes that you have.
Very interesting. Who was it that I just heard? Is Shaq now joining the wrestling world?
Shaquille O'Neal,
yes.
He did a spot on AEW, but he's not joining on a regular basis that I'm aware of.
Okay. I just heard something about that. I used to be a big wrestling fan when I was in high school, actually. My friends and I would sit around and watch it. It was kind of a big thing back in the late 80s, I guess. But I even named my hamster after Andre the Giant.
That's funny.
So that's my tie to wrestling.
Hey, so you're one of us now.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, well, you've been one of us.
Yeah.
So,
can't say I still keep up with it, but hey.
So, is there any stories or scenes that you, because we're still on General Hospital, we're definitely going to touch on some other things. Are there any stories or scenes that stand out to you the most from your time on General Hospital? Because I think about when you were hooked on pills. Yeah.
Yeah. I got to do a lot in a very short period of time. It was so much fun because, you know, I came on as sort of this good girl from the wrong side of the tracks, you know, with my poor alcoholic mother, and, you know, Jason Quartermain liked me, and it was the whole kind of like, oh, I will never be good enough for him because I'm a poor girl from, you know, a broken home. And then it evolved, you know, into this wild love affair with the bad boy in town, and then this deep, dark past started emerging, and my character went through this whole thing where she discovered that she'd been sexually abused, and so then she became a drug addict, and then, you know, Sunny came on the show, and I started working in the club. Right. Right. It gave me so much to do, and then when Sunny came on, Maurice Bernard, it was so much fun to play with him. And, you know, I got to do something completely opposite than what my character had been initially brought on to do. So all the stripping scenes, and, you know, I became a stripper and a drug addict, and then I was his girlfriend, and I just kind of went down and into a downward spiral. And then I got rescued by Jagger, and then we, you know, I recovered. I went to therapy, and then I guess I rode off into the sunset with Jagger and went to med school. That was my character.
Okay, no, never mind.
Not
the same person. Never mind.
What? That's a wild. That's a wild story. Really, a wild story.
It is.
Now,
it is. So it's like, so when you ask me about, like, you know, what memorable things stick out, so much, because my character evolved so rapidly that there was always something new and exciting to play. I would say personally, what really stuck out to me, number one was Stuart Damon, who was just, he was like this wonderful teddy bear father figure to me, who I just adore and will adore forever. So, you know, a special relationship with him. And then when Maurice came on, that was a really exciting time for me, because he's such a powerful force as an actor to work with. And, you know, there's a reason why he's won so many Emmys and he's still on after all these years.
I was just going to ask that. When Maurice first joined the cast, did he think that he was going to have like a short-term stint, or did he already know that he was going to be there forever?
Well, you know, it's funny. I don't think anybody really ever goes on to a soap, knowing for sure that they're going to be on for a long time. Initially, there's a 3-year contract generally. And so, you know, I think when he came on, that was all it was for, and maybe even less. I don't know. I'm not sure what his contract was. But, yeah, I mean, I know his character just took off, and it's maintained longevity for, gosh, I think close to 30 years. It's been a long time. So,
yeah, almost.
He's been there for a very long time and still doing just an amazing job.
So if I don't mind my asking, what is it about the soap opera formula that has allowed it to maintain its popularity for so long? Because I can only imagine that the process of how the soap operas are made hasn't changed a whole lot in the past 30, 40 years. So what is it about that formula that keeps soap operas so, you know, interesting to watch?
Well, I think it is, like you were saying, it's the ongoing drama unfolding in everybody's living room. So it's a daily process. I think that's why we binge watch shows on Netflix and Amazon, you know, because we have the ability to have that story and the characters in our lives every day. You know what I mean? So it unfolds slowly, and I think it becomes more of a personal experience, because it's so ongoing, you know, and people become invested in these characters, and you know, it's a bit like binge watching a show where you get addicted to it and you can't stop watching it. And when you know it's coming back the next day, it keeps people hooked.
Yeah, I definitely got scared in 2012 when they canceled All My Children and One Life to Live. I was scared. I was terrified that General Hospital was next.
I know. It's amazing that it's still around. I think that, you know, it definitely has taken a hit. I'm surprised that actually they are still around, but they're still here. At least there's a few of them. There's still the longstanding ones like Days of Our Lives and General Hospital. Even though the audience, I think, has dropped quite a bit. But that's why I think, you know, a show like The Bay, I don't know if you guys have seen that yet, but they have basically taken all the soap actors that you know, have worked on soaps and still are currently working on soaps and put them in a digital format so that people have access to them at any time.
Yeah, I've seen Bobby, I don't know her real name, but Bobby Spencer and and the gentleman Robert. I've seen him
on the show. Both of them are on the Bay. And it was fun working with them again after all these years.
Nice.
Is it like coming home? Was it like coming home when you get to work with people you used to work with for so long?
Oh yeah. It's so wonderful. You know, the Bay is actually executive produced by Wendy Rich, who was the executive producer on General Hospital. So in a way, it's kind of like doing a General Hospital.
General Hospital, just with a different name.
Exactly. So it's really great to be back together with them again, and you know, these people who have meant so much to me in the early part of my career.
So you feel like you've come full circle?
Yeah, sort of. It's interesting. Yeah, I guess I could kind of look at it that way. It's a big reunion.
Now, it's true that you took 11 years off from acting? If that's in fact true, I think I read that somewhere.
I did. I took an 11-year break.
Wow.
I took an 11-year break when my kids were little, and I went into something completely different for a little while. My son was diagnosed with autism, and he really needed me to be in one place with him. And at the time when I had him, I was working a lot, but I was shooting a lot of things internationally. So I shot a series in China and I was in New Zealand. And, you know, when you have a child with autism, it becomes really important that they have kind of a consistent schedule and they need to be at their therapy sessions and things like that. So I decided to take a break during that period, and just so that I could keep things stable for him.
Wow.
And he's doing great
doing
now.
Today?
So he is doing awesome. He is actually, we caught it so early that he there are no signs of autism in him today. Like, he's completely a typical child. He's a teenager now, and he's doing great.
That is awesome.
He's a star baseball
player,
and he's great.
Yeah, my nephew's got my nephew is autistic. So, I mean, my soon-to-be step-niece is extremely autistic. She's a grown woman. She'll never be able to take care of herself. But that is an awesome thing that your son has come through this. On a highly positive note.
Yes, I couldn't be more pleased with, you know, we really approached it aggressively, and he was in therapy sometimes twice a day, 5 days a week. So he had a very intensive therapy schedule with all kinds of different things, from, you know, behavioral analysis to floor time therapy, social skills, occupational therapy, speech therapy, you name it. We just attacked it really hard and very early. And by the time he was 6 or 7, there were hardly any traces of it at all. So I'm so pleased for him. He's able to live a completely typical life, which is really great.
Yeah. Wow. We definitely commend you on that, for sure. We definitely do.
Thank you. Mommy first.
No problem. What was that transition like, jumping back into acting after being away from it for such a it seems like a long time. I don't know if it's a long time for you, but
it is a long time.
11 years, that's a long time.
Long time. Yeah, it was a lot like riding a bike, you know. I mean, I was a little afraid at first. I was like, oh, my God, am I still going to know how to do this? But, you know, and that's why the first thing I did was the Bay, coming back, and it was such a comfortable environment because it was all people I'd worked with before. So, you know, it was like getting on a bike. Like no time had passed at all. It was so much fun. I had a great time and was so happy that they asked me on the show and was able to make a comeback. It was awesome.
Awesome. You have your own production company now, right?
I do, yeah. We're working on a
good, because I need
now.
A new executive producer. You want to step into that role?
I don't know much about radio, but yeah, we're working on a TV show right now that we're developing as a streaming show. What's that?
So I thought that was going to get a laugh out of Marquez too, but apparently not.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Marquez
I'll
is
inside.
My executive producer, so
it was inside laugh.
If you can't tell, I'm a little feistier, so I like poking fun at people I know.
I gotta deal with this.
Where are you guys located? Are you near each other?
Marquez is located
in
Detroit. Nope, Marquez is located in Detroit.
Okay.
I am located in Lake Station, Indiana.
Oh wow. Okay. And are you old friends, or how did you guys come together?
Nope.
Now I'm interviewing you.
Right.
No, this is all good, man. Whatever you're the guest here. You can take it wherever you want to take it. It was actually through the wrestling podcast. Martez started this channel, Open Talk 313. I had just started doing a podcast for wrestling, and I don't know how he stumbled across it. He invited me to be a guest on his show. And the next thing I knew, I had my own show on his network, and that's it.
How fun. Very cool.
Yeah.
Gotta love how accessible, you know, things are with technology these days, and it's awesome.
Well, I view it more as he was desperate for content, so he was reaching out to every poor schlub he could get on his shows. I'm nothing more than a poor schlub here, so. Becky, you are the guest of honor. You are the topic of tonight. So let's see. Martez, do you have anything else while I try to think of something else? I do apologize. I didn't have much
Can you talk about your Foodie and Friends show on YouTube?
Yeah.
What is
sure.
that?
That is a show that was actually created for my daughter. Her and her friends sort of came up with it. They have food allergies. And kind of, you know, when she was 7, she was dealing with having to not eat all of the fun things that her friends got to eat. So her and her other friend that had a food allergy, they decided to make their own things and figure out their own versions of gluten-free, dairy-free, nut-free treats that they could have. And we turned it into a YouTube show. So we've been on a bit of a break because of COVID, but they have fun with it. And, you know, it's just something fun for them to do as a way of coping, because kind of like a coping thing that they've been able to make light of their difficulties and challenges. You know?
You
and
know, you bring up a good question. Sorry, go ahead. Awkward silence, Marquez. Talk.
No, that you're good. Go ahead. You're good.
I was just going to say, you brought up a great question is when you mentioned the COVID interfered with your YouTube channel. How has COVID affected your workplace and how everything's taking place on a studio nowadays? I mean, are you guys got to go through all the being, you know, temperatured every day? You have to wear your masks in between takes. I mean, what is there anything else out there that it's affecting it, slowing down production or anything?
Yeah, I mean, you know, production pretty much came to a standstill last summer. From March, everything shut down like the rest of the world, and the entertainment industry didn't know what to do. But luckily, you know, The Bay was slated to start shooting in July, and right before we got the green light to go ahead and shoot, the industry came out with an agreement among all of the unions called the White Pages that basically laid out all of the parameters that, you know, people would need to abide by if they were going to go into production. So, you know, it
involved, and this is any production company, right?
Yes, any production company. So we had to be, you know, basically it was, you had to be tested. Now the way it is, let me start there. Now the way it is you have to be tested 3 times a week, and then the day that you work, and then it's it often shuts down productions if anybody turns up positive. Like, I just did an episode of This Is Us, and I was actually cast in that show back in October, and I didn't actually get to shoot it until mid-January because of COVID. So we kept getting canceled and pushed back and put on hold because people were turning up positive and they would have to shut down the entire production. So, you know, that's how it is now. And we've gotten pretty used to the way things are, you know, now. And then we have to wear, like, face shields, and all of the actors are separated by these, like, these shower curtains when you're in the waiting area. So pretty much the only time you are allowed to be without masks or without a shield on is if you're actually on camera. So, and it's very quick, and, you know, things are definitely scaled down. We don't have as many people on set as we used to. But then
you don't get to interact with each other like you used to.
No, you don't. You don't. There's not that joy of interacting with each other. But this summer, we got really lucky with shooting The Bay because it was kind of before all of the rules were put in place. So we took our own precautions. We were testing once a week, but then we all quarantined together on a ranch out in the middle of nowhere. And we shot the entire series for season 6 on a ranch, quarantined together. So that helped a lot. Just, we were kind of locked down there, and we shot the entire thing all at once, and
yeah,
we were done in a month.
Each other? 2 weeks in quarantine with an entire cast? Man, that's amazing.
Ranch. I know. It's huge. I forget how many
acres. You go to your side of the ranch,
I'll
stay on my
acres.
Side of the ranch.
Yep. And there were a whole bunch of llamas there and horses and zebras, and it was a really fun place to be. So, no, it was no problem at all. We had a great time. It was a lot of fun. So that's how we're getting around it. You know, we're just
sounds like you're making the best of a bad situation, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, ironically, I've worked more this year as an actor than I have in the years before I took a break.
Wow.
It was really great.
Hard to background noise. I apologize. I'm trying to cook dinner while I'm doing the show.
I see that. I heard that. I thought I heard you chopping. Multitasking.
Yes, ma'am. That's what Bluetooth's good for.
Yep.
You have a quote on your website from Benjamin Franklin. It says, "Well done is better than well said." Why is that? Why did you decide to put that on your website, and what does that mean for you?
Well, I've always felt like, you know, talk is cheap. So you can say you're going to do something all you want, but it doesn't really mean anything until you actually step up and do it. So it's sort of like the baseball quote too, where it's work hard in silence and let your bat make the noise. It's sort of the same concept, you know. I'd rather show up and show somebody that I did something rather than spout off about how I'm going to do something, you know.
Yes. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah.
Now, who are you guys fans of? Like, what are your on General Hospital? Who are your favorite characters? I'm wondering if I
Sonny
know any of them, I could tell you some stories. What's that?
Sonny and Jason. No argument.
Oh, Sonny and Jason. Okay. Okay. Well,
yeah.
I know both of them very well.
Yeah,
that's who I started with too. So.
Yeah, for me it's the same, Sonny and Jason. Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Now, when I first got in '96, it was more Sonny and Luke, but because Jason had just taken, he had literally just went. The first episode I watched was Jason was bouncing a ball against his bedroom wall at the quarter mains, and then a scene or two later, he comes barreling through the living room on a dirt bike. So he hadn't actually become Jason yet. So it was originally Luke and Sonny. But the more Luke stepped away and the more Jason became Jason, it was just like, you know, these two are such a great pairing together that, you know, the show can't – I don't think the show would be able to survive without the two of them.
Yeah, I've heard that from a lot of people who are still fans of the show. But, you know, they've kind of carried on the nostalgic history of the show because they've been there for so long and were – You know, I've always been a part of exciting storylines.
Do you ever sit back to yourself and pat yourself on the back based on all the success you had over your career? Do you ever take a moment to celebrate yourself?
That's a good question.
Or are you on the opposite side of that? Are you overly critical about everything that you do?
No, I think I have an appreciation for where I've been, but I've always been very much about looking forward to what's next. I love that there's this archive of things that I've done in my past, but I'm always excited about the next experience. But you know, it's funny because so many of the things that I've done in the past, I've actually kind of gone into a vault and I've put it away. But since my kids started realizing what I did before I had them, started coming to their attention and now they think it's really cool, you know?
Nice.
So it's kind of fun to rediscover things that I've done in my past.
How was it when they first realized that mommy was an actor? What was that conversation like? I mean, what was it? How did they find out, and how did they bring it to your attention? Like, Mom, I stumbled on you on YouTube.
Yeah, pretty much. It wasn't my son. It was actually my son's friend, and he was like, "Dude, do you know your mom's all over YouTube?" And of course, he found the stripping stuff. Of course, preteen boy. So so that's kind of how it came about, and then I was like, "Oh yeah." That's me. And then my daughter actually was flipping through Amazon about a year or two ago, and she's a big fan of horses. Like, she loves horseback riding. She's obsessed with horses. And so she watches all of these horse-related movies. And as she was on Amazon looking around, a movie that I did called The Inheritance popped up where – I played this young girl who was, you know, a horseback riding aficionado back in the 1800s, but I was a girl and I wasn't supposed to be riding. So it kind of popped up, and so she was like, "Mommy, that's you." So it's kind of funny. They both sort of discovered it on their own. Because to them, I was just mom, you know. They didn't know that.
That's why I asked the question, because it is a weird aspect of the business that the general fans don't realize, is that, you know, for actors and actresses that are parents, to their kids, it's just mommy and daddy going to work. They don't have, like, the stardom that the fans give them. And, like, in your situation where you had such a lengthy break and then they stumble on your career after the fact, it's that was a cool story. Thank you for that one.
They were kind of surprised, you know, and then because as far as they knew, I was just mom, and I actually became a nurse during that time too. So, you know, during my 11-year break, I became a registered nurse, and I started working as a nurse. And as they started to discover, you know, that I had this history as an actor, and then they noticed that I went back to work as an actor, and I stopped nursing. But one day my daughter said to me, she said, you know, Mommy, I think that you should just be an actor. I said, you shouldn't be a nurse anymore. So she thinks it's very cool.
Yeah, anything else there, Martez?
Oh, yes, I do. Is there anything I want to
tell you? We're doing a phenomenal job. We're just doing this on the fly. So I'm interested to see what else you got.
Is there anything that you want to promote? I know you have something else that you have to get to tonight, but I wanted to give you this time to promote anything that you have going on currently.
No, just, you know, go see whoever has access to the Bay. Recently somebody told me that you can't watch Amazon Prime in Canada for some reason, or you couldn't. The Bay was unavailable in Canada, so I don't know how far your reach goes. But if you're in the United States, go see The Bay. It's on Amazon. It's also available on Popstar TV. You know, there's all these new streaming platforms now. There's a gazillion of them. So our show is also on Popstar TV that can be found on Roku or Apple TV or Amazon Fire Stick, any of those. But yeah, I think most of the seasons are up now on Popstar TV. Amazon only had season, I want to say like 4 and 5 initially, and didn't have the previous seasons. But I came in season 5, and I've done season 5 and 6. So yeah, go check out The Bay.
Oh yeah.
Quick question. It brings up an interesting question that you know, from a fan standpoint, you know, having everything moved to these streaming websites and everything, it's not that big of a deal because with YouTube and whatnot, things have been streaming for, you know, a decade or so. So everything moving to streaming is not a huge thing for the general fan, especially the younger ones.
Right.
But what is that like from an actor's standpoint? Because when you did General Hospital back in the day, it was on ABC. You had to have,
mm-hmm.
you know, as long as you had a television, you had ABC. Now you're doing The Bay,
right,
where it's just on these handful of platforms that's not on
mm-hmm.
Regular cable or something. Do you find that to be a lot harder to promote yourself and whatnot, or do you like the fact that you have more opportunities? How does that, the whole streaming culture, affect you as an actress?
Well, that's a really interesting question because I think it depends on the demographic. It's just a new way of consuming television now. So I feel like those fans who are maybe a little bit older, who are used to kind of consuming their television programs very simply by, you know, one of the four networks, that this has been a challenging time. So, yeah, I do find in promoting, especially promoting The Bay, it takes a lot of explaining how to actually access the show sometimes. Now, Amazon has become so user-friendly,
no,
and I think most people know how to do that now. So at least, you know,
I think
Amazon's
definitely getting past even Netflix and Hulu.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So it's so easy to be able to get on from wherever you are. So in that way, with the generation of viewers that are used to tech, the technology that's available, it's actually easier because there are more ways to see something that you're interested in. And I think that there's more ways you can see it. So you're not beholden to your TV. You can actually watch it on your phone or your computer or wherever you are. So in that sense, I think it makes it a little more accessible. Yeah, sure. I think it just, again, kind of depends on the demographic and the people who are really used to or able to kind of transition to watching something in the streaming platforms. It's fine. It's actually better. But for those that are a little less tech savvy, like my dad, for instance, he never watches anything anymore because he's like, I don't know how, if it's not on TV, I don't know how to watch it. So, you know, you kind of lose those people. But, yeah. We capture the generation that's used to it.
All right. Well, we want to say thank you for coming on to the show. You've been such a nice and a beautiful guest this evening. I can't say more good things about
absolutely.
You. Seriously.
thank you,
I feel like you're family now. You feel like you're family now. And
Don't go GH Stalker on her. Just say thank you for coming on the show.
Hold on. Thank you.
You guys are funny.
Hopefully you'll come back on again. I'll let Jed say his little piece to you. And then really, thank you
all
for
right,
coming
sure
on.
Thing.
Oh, no.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I was thrilled. I mean, I was afraid that because you were before my time that I wasn't going to be able to do an effective interview. And fortunately, I didn't do any homework on you, so I was like, oh, I'm going to screw this up. But you made this interview so easy and so entertaining. I'm so happy that I had this opportunity to talk to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it, and all the best to you guys and your show.
All right.
Thank
well,
you very much.
Appreciate you, and you have a good night, okay?
All right. You too. Okay. Good night, you guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Yeah, you can't ask for a better guest than that, you, like I was saying earlier.
Oh, man, that was perfect.
Yeah, and it was absolutely perfect. Very nice, very beautiful spirit. Gosh, I mean, I'm running out of words to say. I feel real good about what we did tonight, you know. Just thankful we got this platform to be able to talk to people like that. Really, I mean, I'm running out of words right now, but I'm very, very happy that.
See, this is why I cut you off a lot, Martez. Because when I hear you running out of words, I'm like, damn it! Now I got to come in here. I got to save Martez's butt again.
You got to save me, huh?
I don't think you find me as funny as you used to. You didn't laugh at all.
Yeah, well, I laughed inside, okay?
you laughed inside.
We've never done an interview together.
That's keyword for it wasn't funny.
But it was a great show. What you got, Jed? You got anything you want to talk about? We only got a few more minutes left in the show. I know we don't have a chance to get into too much conversation about General Hospital, but is there anything
what's
you want to touch
say?
On?
What we got?
We got 15
minutes, don't we?
My clock says 7 minutes over here.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. 7 minutes. I'm sorry. I misread my own clock. Well, I mean, at this time, it looks like Franco's actually dead. I don't see how they're going to undo that. I should have waited before I went off about Xander's return because I should have did a whole, okay, it's going to be a cemetery scene kind of situation, which is what it exactly wound up being and all that. Did I or did I not call Nina and Sonny?
Oh, yeah, you called that all the way. Slam dunk. That was a slam dunk call.
Now she's going to keep Sonny from Carly. The question is she going to fall in love with him in the process of trying to keep him away? And then he finds out that she lied to him and yada, yada, when he gets his memory back. How is all that going to play out now?
Yeah, this is going to be Nell 2.0. I remember when Nell drugged him and lied and said they slept together. I think this is going to be a similar situation where Nina is going to,
oh, no,
like
absolutely, because she's going to be acting, you know, because it's Nell's mother. It's Nell's biological mother. And so, obviously, Nell, her dysfunction was not completely attributed to her adoptive parents. It's, Nina was crazy when she came out of her coma. So, obviously, some of that...
I will say this.
Go ahead.
I will say this. I hope they don't go in that direction of making Nina super crazy, where she has to go to Shady Brook and this and that. I don't want them to go in that direction, but I can see that happening.
Well, you never know. You don't know, because Carly went to Shady Brook a couple of times. Granted, that was because they recast her, but...
Right.
You never know. You don't know. I don't
never.
I don't like it when anybody gets recast or cut. But like I said last show, is that, you know, this doing this for a lifetime is a hell of an undertaking, and it, some people don't want to do it forever. So,
yep,
if she
exactly.
does go to Shady Brook because she goes totally crazy, I would probably start looking for a recast when she comes out of Shady Brook.
Well, hopefully it doesn't get to that point to where they're going to recast her, because she's grown on me. I like this
movie. That was a question I wanted to ask her about that. I wanted to ask her about all those about the recasting and stuff like that. Hopefully we'll get another guest on here at some point and I can ask him.
Yep. We should be having someone coming up in the next few weeks. We got to just confirm it, being announced it. But I was saying this earlier when I guess my earlier in the other show that wasn't really being broadcast. I was saying this that I hate when I begin to like a character that I was supposed to like. What I mean by that is this: I'm starting to be a big fan of Cyrus Renault, you know. But I really shouldn't be a fan of his because I'm Team Jason and Sonny, but I'm really starting to like Cyrus Renault. So I'm kind of hoping that he doesn't get killed or he doesn't go to jail, because I'm liking his character. I don't know if you ever had that issue where you begin to like somebody you don't supposed to like. Have you ever had that issue?
No, absolutely. I know exactly where you're coming from. Now, the character of Cyrus Renault being a drug dealer, no, I don't like the character. But the actor himself, I have seen a million and one TV shows and movies with him in it, and I love it. I love him as an actor. I love his ability to portray roles. So I want him to stick around just because I like. He's always been in a villain role. He's always been in a supporting cast role, and here he can get spotlighted and be in the forefront from time to time. And I just like to see him stick around for a while.
Oh, yeah. Same here. You know,
our guest said, Sonny first came on the scene. He owned a strip club, and I think he caused the death of Scott Baldwin's daughter, you know, so, and being a mob boss and everything. But over the years, they have humanized him and give him this code that he goes on. So it's not out of the realm of possibilities for them to do something similar with Cyrus Renault.
It's really not. Same with Peter August. I don't like Peter August. I think his character is relatively boring. No disrespect to him. But I can see how it's like they're trying to keep him along. They're trying to keep him around. And I hope they X him, if you will, because they can't keep stringing him along, you know, giving him ways to get out of crimes and things of that nature. That's the part I don't like, you know, giving these characters ways to get out of crimes and things of that nature. So we'll see what happens with him. But we got about 2 minutes to go.
Well, here's the thing about that, partner, is that they have to come up with this stuff, because when you have a super villain like Helena Cassidyne or Cesar Faison that is just downright evil to the core, but they're too old to keep portraying that role, what are you supposed to do? You have to create another supervillain. So this is their way of creating a new supervillain with Cesar Faison's son, and instead of being obsessed with Anna, he's going to be obsessed with Maxie. Give it time, let the story progress, and maybe in time – the character will grow on you, because every good heroine and hero has to have that villain.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll see. We don't have a guest coming up. We may have one pretty soon in the next
week. I think we've established this is not going to be an every week show. So we'll maybe every other week, or maybe once a month or something. But
I was getting ready to say whenever we do this show again, and I'd love for us to just spend time chatting about the things that's going on in Port Charles, like we did the first episode. We're not going to have a guest all the time, but I want to thank Miss Shane, Carrie Shane, for coming on to the show. Jed Williamson, thank you for doing this show with me.
Always a pleasure.
Yep. We're trying our best to bring new content over here to this platform, and I think this has the makings to be a good show. But for everybody that's listening, we want to thank you. And then don't forget My Two Cents on Wrestling this Sunday at what, 4 Central?
4 Central on Sundays, absolutely.
All right. I'll talk to you later, Jed, and we'll talk to you later, everybody that's listening. Have a good night.
Have a great one.